Tonight, if you would, take your Bibles and turn to Psalm number 103. Psalms number 103. As we were here just a couple of days before Thanksgiving Day, I thought we'd give some more thoughts along that line. We mentioned Sunday that the first group of people that observed what we call Thanksgiving, they did not have the abundance of things that you and I have of today. Those pilgrims that celebrated the first Thanksgiving, they had very little earthly possessions. They didn't have that much to really thank the Lord for other than life itself and the goodness of God to keeping them alive, because 7 out of 8 people that first landed here on the shores of this nation, they died because of sickness or the severity of the weather and just the many different things. And so they buried more, they had more graves than they did new homes. And so it had been a very hard, difficult year. There was a ship that was to bring supplies, but it brought no supplies, but it brought 35 more people that had to be fed and taken care of. A man by the name of William Brewster led in prayer that first meal or that first Thanksgiving. And he didn't have a large turkey. He didn't have all the fixings that we'll have this week. But he looked down and he thanked God for the abundance of the sea and the treasure of the sand. For he looked down upon a meal that was a glass of water and then clams, a plate of clams to eat. And so very, very little to be what we would think of as Christmas. There was some Indians that had been won to the Lord that particular time. And some of them brought a few ears of corn, of wild corn. It's not what we would have today. And they ate with them and brought those things with them. And they joined them and were thankful. They were thankful for that celebration because that God had spared their life. And then for a number of years after that first Thanksgiving meal, they had a tradition of putting in those plates 5 kernels of corn. And every empty plate would have 5 kernels of corn. And they would take turns going around the table, and they would give 5 things they were thankful for. And that tradition went on for a number of years. I doubt in our modern day hustle and bustle we'd even take time to do something like that. But certainly we ought to be thankful more than 5 things, many things for which we are thankful. But they made that tradition and has been carried on down through years after year. And we are, as a nation, founded upon the blessings of the Lord and the power of our God. Despite what we hear today, our nation was founded upon the principles of God's Word. And in 1789, George Washington made a public proclamation. I want to read this. It says, "By the President of the United States of America, a proclamation, whereas it is the duty of all nations to acknowledge the providence of Almighty God, to obey His will, and to be grateful for all His benefits, and to humble and implore His favor and protection. Whereas both houses of Congress have, by their joint committees, requested me to recommend to the people of the United States a day of public thanksgiving and prayer to be observed by acknowledging with grateful hearts the many favors of Almighty God. Now, therefore, I do recommend and assign Thursday, the 26th day of November, to be devoted by the people of these states to the service of that great and glorious being, author of all that is good, that was, and that is, and that shall be." And those are words of our first president, and making proclamation that the nation would observe a time of being thankful. But I read about those five kernels of corn. I looked two or three different places, and I had a few little different stories about that. But the tradition went on for a number of years, remembering how little they had that first time they set. And so in Psalm number 103, I want us to use these verses 1 through 5. And we'll look at five kernels of corn, and really they're five blessings that God gives you and I as a believer. Verse number 1 of Psalm 103 says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgiveth all thy iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles." In these five verses tonight, we have from verse number 3, 4, and 5, we have five things here, or five blessings that the Lord does for you and I, and that we are not to forget His benefits. And He does benefit us. He gives us. When a person goes to a job, they have their salary, their hourly wage or whatever that might be, and then they have benefits over and above what they are paid. Well, we have many benefits from the Lord. It's over and above what God's done for us in salvation. It's just the benefits that He blesses us with, and we have that emblem of that horn of plenty. Sharon told me this afternoon, I asked her, she says it's called a cornucopia. I couldn't get it out. And Thanksgiving symbol. And that symbol represents the abundance of our land. It represents that that we have multiple things that we can indulge upon, and that we can eat, and we can have the plenty that God has given to us. We have many more reasons than just five or six things to be thankful, but sometimes hard to even bring them up to our mind to be able to say, "I am thankful for these things." But the Scripture says, "Forget not His benefits." Thank God for His benefits. And He reminds us, has to remind us, because we are a forgetful people. Israel forgot the blessings of the Lord. We forget, and certainly our nation is forgetting all the good things that God has done for us. So the key to Thanksgiving is not the turkey, but it's the key to being thankful and having a thankful heart. A heart that remembers the good things of the Lord and what He does for us. Thoughtfulness. I read this somewhere, says thoughtfulness leads to thankfulness. Pondering leads to praise. Remembering leads to rejoicing. And if we would just to be thankful and thoughtful, if we will just remember the things of God, we will rejoice in those benefits that He has given to us. So let's take these five things that we find in these verses, and you can call them blessings or kernels of corn or whatever we want to distinguish them as tonight, but these are certainly blessings that God has given to us. In verse number 1 and 2, Psalm 103, Psalm, David is just blessing the Lord. Just an abundance of blessing. Bless the Lord, O my soul, all that is within me. Let me bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Forget not His benefits. And then he begins to list these benefits, some of them that are here before us. Number 1 is, who forgiveth all thy iniquities. What a great blessing that is, that you and I can sit here tonight in a building, in a church house, warm, and it may be bad outside, and the rain and the snow comes, and in the summertime the heat blares down. But we are able to sit in a house of God because that He has forgiven us. He has taken our sins, and He's thrown them away. He's no longer going to remember them. Forgiveness, forgiving all thine iniquities. running to a church one time, a man had a turkey under his arm. He comes to the preacher, and he says, "Forgive me, preacher, I've sinned." And he said, "I've stolen this turkey so I could feed my family." And he said, "Would you take it and settle my guilt?" And the preacher said, "Certainly not. That is your guilt. That is on you. You must return it to the one for whom you stole it." He said, "I tried, but he refused. Oh, preacher, what should I do? If what you say is true, then all that is right for you is to keep it for your family." Thanking the preacher, the fellow hurried off, and the preacher returned to his residence. And when he walked into the kitchen, he found that someone had stolen his turkey. He tried to give it back, and the preacher said, "No, I'm not going to do that. I'll not have that." And he said, "You're free. If he won't take it back, then you're free to feed your family." I thought that's pretty good. So he goes back to his house, and the turkey is gone. But thank God he makes our sins gone. He forgets them. He remembers them no more. And forgiveness is one of the great benefits of a child of God. He gives us the promise that I will forgive you. He provides us and did provide us the Son of God that we could be drawn into the household of faith. And then we have the Bible that gives us the proclamation of what we have as a believer. And so we have been forgiven. Most people that as they have raised and lived in their life and their ages mature, most people that have become Christians, they don't, if they were involved in a lot of things, they just really don't want to talk about that. I've heard different people say, "Well, I'd like to forget some of the things I've done." Well, I got good news for them. The Lord has forgotten all those things they've done. The Lord's put them as far as the east is from the west, and he remembers them no more. So that first little kernel of corn that we might look down upon and just to realize the blessing of the Lord is that we are a forgiven people. The Lord has taken our sins and said, "It's okay." He has taken our sins because they've already been judged. They were judged on Calvary. They were judged when the sins were laid upon our Lord. And there he died for you and I. And so our sins are gone. They are forgiven completely. Verse number 3 also tells us here that not only does he forgive our iniquities, but he healeth all thy diseases. He heals the diseases that come upon us. Sometimes God heals through doctors. Sometimes he heals without doctors. Sometimes God heals through medicine. Sometimes he heals without it. But God is the healing instrument of that. The Bible says in James chapter 5, verse 14 and through 16, says, "Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let him pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord, and the power of and the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up, and if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Pray one for another that ye may be healed." Now God puts within us the ability to be healed. Now we do not have total healing all the time, but sometimes we get sick and then we get better. And he's put within us the process of being able to be healed. We recover from injuries. We recover from surgeries. We recover from sickness. And that's all a result that God has put within our flesh, the ability to regenerate itself, to heal itself, to be able to get back about your business. It doesn't happen overnight, but there is that healing process that takes place. You can have surgery in just a few weeks or sometimes even a few days. You can go back to work. You may not be able to do all the things you did before, but your body is healing to the point that you can go back to some normality in your life. And so that's God's healing ministry to you and I. And that's one of his benefits. He said he healeth all of our diseases. He takes those things that are upon us, and we sometimes have to use help. Sometimes we have to get professional people that know more about us than we do on the inside and know what to do and how to do and how to do the surgeries. But he gives us the and the healing ability. And sometimes we will live life, and if we live long enough, there's something going to overtake us if the Lord doesn't come, and we will we'll leave here one by one, but then afterward, we're healed in heaven. I heard someone say one time, I prayed for the healing of my daughter, and the Lord took her home, and I realized He healed her. He took care of her, and he took that and made that a perfect healing in the body. And so here, these benefits that we look upon, these blessings that God has given to us, what a wonderful thing it is. Not only does He forgive us, but He makes us have ability to heal and to go on about the things that are set before us. Then verse number four, who redeemeth thy life from destruction. He redeems us from destruction. Ephesians chapter 1, verse number 7 says we have redemption through His blood. Hebrews 9:12 says, by His own blood, having obtained eternal redemption. And so tonight we have that wonderful blessing that the Lord redeems us and gives us an eternal home in heaven. He redeems us from the very depths of sin. Sin is a terrible blight upon people. Turn back to Psalm number 40, and he gives us here a few things about waiting for the Lord and the depth of sin. Psalm number 40, verse number 1 says, I waited patiently for the Lord, and He inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my going. He hath put a new song in my mouth, and even praise to our God. Many shall see it and fear, and shall trust the Lord. Blessed is that man that maketh the Lord his trust, and respecteth not the proud, for such as turn aside to lies. He says, He inclined His ear, and He heard me. He has taken me out of that horrible pit. And here David describes the pit of sin as being a horrible place. A pit is where you get mired in the things around you. And He's taking him out of that miry clay of that pit, and He set himself upon a solid rock. And of course, we know the New Testament tells us that that rock is none other than Jesus Christ. And so He has taken us out of the depths of sin and the clay of the miry clay, and He sets us upon a foundation of the rock, and Jesus said, I am that rock. And then through his word, He establishes our going. He gives us direction in life. So He redeems us from the depths of sin. He redeems us from the desolation of sin. The Lord redeemeth the soul of His servants, and none of them that trust in Him shall be desolate. The word desolate means empty. If you go to a desolate place, it means there's nothing there. And the Lord has redeemed us from that. He has taken us out of that. It says, none of them that trust in Him shall be desolate. We are not in despair. Thank God tonight we are not in despair. Things may be terrible around us and problems everywhere, and the nation is crumbling before us, and religion is destroying true salvation, and all those things are happening around us, but you and I tonight, we are not desolate. We have a wonderful hope. We have a wonderful ray of light, and it's called the Lord Jesus Christ. So sin is a desolation. Sin will put us into a land of nowhere, but He has redeemed us. The Lord redeemeth the soul of His servants. Thank God tonight we are the servants of the Lord, and He redeems us from the deceitfulness of sin. The devil's very deceitful. He can make everything that's bad look very good. He can make everything that would be distasteful, he makes it look, well, you think you might need to have that. And so He changes the view of things. He changes the hearing of things. He makes everything sound good, look good, act good, like it's just the best thing in the world. And that's the deceitfulness of the devil. And that's the deceitfulness of sin. It'll do things and deceive us before we ever realize what has taken place. But the Lord says He has redeemed our life from destruction. We're not going to be destroyed. As a believer, we have a home in heaven. We have a joyous place that one day we shall go. And He'll take us through this world and take us through our pathway. And the troubles will come, the sorrows will be there, and the despair will be there. But I'll never be destroyed. Never be out of existence. I'll be one day with the Lord Jesus Christ. So that's the kernel, or that's the blessing of having redemption of the Lord. We have that redemption of forgiveness, of healing, and now we find that He has given us redemption. We've been bought back. We've been brought out of the prison house of despair, and we are seated upon a solid foundation of the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse number 4 also here says, not only does He redeem thy life from destruction, but it also says, crowneth thee with loving kindness, compassion, kindness. The most compassionate people that you'll ever be around are Christian people. Don't get me wrong, many lost people are compassionate. But you and I understand the true compassion because we understand the Lord had compassion on us. The word compassion has that word compass in it that just simply means a guide. He guides us to and gives us direction as to how that we can be a help to individuals and a help to people, to be sympathetic of others that's in distress and the compassion that is there. Matthew chapter 9, verse number 36, the Bible says, when He saw the multitude, He was moved with compassion. He was guided. He was moved by compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. And that He seeing the multitude was the Lord Jesus Christ. So He's the prime example of everything, especially of love, especially of compassion. When He saw the multitudes around Him, they didn't have He identifies them as people walking around with no direction. They didn't have any place to go. They were scattered. They had no shepherd. They had no leader. They had nothing that would form them together to be able to do something. But you and I tonight, we have been brought into the family of God. And therefore, we have that compassion to help people, to serve the Lord in having that sympathetic hand to folks. And when I see people that I really believe are in great need, it sometimes bothers me and sometimes bothers you to the point that you want to help them and get them some temporary relief, if not more than that. And sometimes we do all that we can do. And I believe our nation is a very compassionate nation. We feed the world. We take care of the world. And we do all those things, but sometimes it's all misguided because they really don't know what compassion's all about. I believe we ought to have compassion over the soul that knows not the Lord, doesn't know Christ. They're going to die without God. They're going to reject Him. They're going to refuse Him. And we certainly need to be moved with compassion as He was, because those are people that are scattered. They have no master. They have no one, no shepherd other than the deceptive shepherd, which is the devil. And so you and I tonight, these are some of the benefits that God gives us as a people of the Lord, to have a compassionate heart. The verse says, He crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercy. So the crown of the believer is that he has mercy. The crown of the believer is that he has loving kindness in his heart toward other people, to tell them about Christ, to tell them there's a better way. And so that's that compassion or passion that God has given us, and that's one of the benefits of being a child of God. And then in verse number 5, the last one here, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. Interesting verse. He says here, He satisfies thy mouth with good things. We understand that. We take in. We have good food. And then he says here, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. Here we find this blessing of being able to be renewed. God giving us freshness. God helping us to be rekindled in the things of the Lord. Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 10 says, "When thou hast eaten and art full, then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God." Matthew 5 and verse 6, "Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." When we seek God's righteousness, He will fill us. When we look for the things of the Lord to bless and to help us with, then He will fill our mouths with good things. He'll fill our heart with those things that are good for us. Psalm 107, verse 9, it says, "For He satisfies the longing soul, He filleth the hungry soul with goodness." Proverbs 28 and verse 5, "He that putteth his trust in the Lord shall be made fat." And sometimes God overfills and overjoys us. And the word fat there just means we're abundantly blessed. And so we find here that the Lord's able to fill our mouths with good things. This coming week we'll have some good things. I think someone said, did a study or something, on average during the season of Thanksgiving and Christmas, the average American, I forget how many pounds of turkey that they eat. Now, I'm not involved in that. I don't eat much turkey. But I do my part in ham and chicken and all those other things. And so we have an abundance, and God fills our mouth with good things. But the last part of that verse says that God will renew us like eagles. An eagle is an interesting bird in the scripture. Of course, the eagle is our national symbol, and it represents strength, it represents warring, it represents the ability to longevity. And I found out these things about the eagle. Not only is their size tremendous, and you see an eagle fly, you don't have to worry about what that is. You can see his wingspan. And there's a few around here, and you can see them fly. And what a majestic bird that it is. And not only their size, but their strength and their longevity. They live a long, long time. But every year, once a year, now some birds do it twice a year, but an eagle will once a year renew themselves in that they shed all their feathers and they have new feathers. And the Lord says here He's going to renew us like eagles. We can shed off all those old things that doesn't work anymore, and those things that's maybe tarnished us, and thank God we are renewed. And the word for that is molting. And I looked that up, and it's just the process of renewal. It is the process where animals will shed their hair, their feathers, their shell, their horns, or other outer layers, and they renew themselves. And isn't it interesting that God says that He's going to satisfy us and He's going to renew us? And every year the eagle does that. He becomes a new creature. He doesn't have the old feathers of last year. He has everything new. Thank God, when I got saved, I became a new creature in Christ. We come to know Him, and He renews us day by day. And the Bible says He renews us month by month, year by year. Every time, whenever we need it, God can strengthen us, and He can give us longevity of life to serve Him and to honor Him, and we can be renewed just like an eagle. And thank God tonight, these are just five little blessings that God has given to His children. And with that illustration or that tradition of years ago, five kernels of corn. Every year they'd look and they'd take a kernel of corn, they'd put it in their mouth, and they'd thank God for something. And they do that in turn. Every one of them would have five things for which they were thankful. May God help us to be thankful more than five, but just to be thankful in our heart and attitude of what the Lord's done for us as a believer. And just remember, when we get tired and weary in well-doing, He can renew us like an eagle. He can take care of us and help us. And may the Lord grant to us a great holiday this week ahead. Let's stand.